KMOX is at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service. Now, here's your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
Yes, folks, we are live and lively from Plant Haven Farms and Garden Center. That's on Firma Road, which is off Highway 79 in O'Fallon. Need some information, directions? Well, you don't really need them. Highway 70, just turn north on 79 and just keep going. You'll see Firma. That's right by the water treatment plant. You turn right there. Just go down the road a little bit, and this garden center is absolutely fantastic. Here's the phone number, 636-272-5005. Now you know where we are. How's your landscape doing? Whoa, kind of damp. Your lawn, your garden, your houseplants, what's on your mind? Remember, this is your show. I'm here to help you make sound decisions. And healthy plants is going to mean a lot of work on your part, timing, and information. So if you do have any questions, call 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. The true brains behind this live and lively broadcast this week is Greg's back in studio. He's doing the producing. So when you call, he'll ask you your name and where you're calling from. And then this show is a real difficult show to do, and I understand that. So it's taking two engineers, Brian and Ryan. So the only way I can handle it is when the names rhyme. So Brian and Ryan are rhyming engineers. I'm Mike Miller, by the way. I've written 5 gardening books. 2 are currently available at various locations. And during the week, I do something I call a walk and talk, where I come to your home, we walk around, I answer questions you have, and also keep my eyes, ears, nose, and whatever senses that I might have alert to what might be, you know, impacting your landscape. And today, after the show, I'm headed to Highway Z off 70 and into Wentzville. And I'll come to your home. We'll talk. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com, and on the homepage, there's an email address and a phone number. And the Good Gardening Stroll is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. And what a coincidence. Broadcast last week from St. Louis Composting. It was raining. I'm broadcasting from Plant Haven Farms, and it's raining. Whoa, great. April showers bring May flowers, though, and colorful foliage and much, much more. And you're going to see it all here at Plant Haven. So take a ride out on a rainy day. They don't care if it's raining or not. They're still going to be here. And you can turn into the parking lot. Nice, smooth parking lot. A few puddles here or there, not too bad. But the multiple layers of clouds, each moving in all kinds of different directions. There was no rain right then when we pulled. I'm sure when Ryan and Brian pulled in, and then when I pulled in, the rain had stopped, but now it started up again. Birds were beginning to sing. It's a beautiful day. The breeze moves across, and the rhythm of the trees here on Plant Haven Farms Nursery Garden Center, it was just nice to see. Purple Martin houses? Yes. There are a few vacancies, but there are some Purple Martins there. A team of yellow carts wait to fill your dreams as you come into the garden center. Hibiscus greets you. Mandevilla vines, banana plants, black coral, calocasia. Yes, and a table full of alyssum. Edibles galore. Sign above the door says, locally grown to thrive here. Boxwood, barberry, ferns. 4-foot-high rooster says hello as you head back through the plants. Hanging baskets sway in the morning breeze. Quonset houses, each with a different sort of theme. And the garden center and nursery are backed up by Plant Haven's agricultural fields. So it's not just a nursery garden center. It's an agricultural place as well. So as you wander around, there are petunias with the flowers the size of tennis balls. There are, wow, perennials galore, cannas, lantana, plants with foliage colorful as a painter's palette, and coral bells ringing out, pots and flats and containers of all sizes. They custom make baskets here, too. And there's also fiber optic ornamental grass, which lights the way. Sedum, roses, clematis, so much more, but I am out of space. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Once again, here's Mike Miller on KMOX.
Yes, folks, we are live and lively from Plant Haven Farms and Garden Center on Firma Road. That's off Highway 79 in O'Fallon, 636-272-5005. Pauline just showed up, so I guess she can answer the phone if you want to call information-wise. But the plant material is absolutely fantastic. I'm going to be talking to her real soon. So if you do have any questions, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Now, also, if you're into cats, there's a cat here. I've just found out his name is Cosmos. He was getting a little bored. Ryan was having to entertain him and everything else. So if you'd like to come out and play with a cat, you can do that as well as getting some plant material. So let's go to Ferguson, Missouri, and talk with Paul. He's our first caller. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, Mike.
Yes.
Good wet morning.
Yes.
I had five Hicks ewes in front of my garage, and they were in there for 40-some years, and I took them out 7 years ago, and I planted six new ewes in between where the other ones were. Now, they've been in 7 years, and they haven't grown much. They get a little, they've got a little new growth on it now, but they're sort of thin-looking, and for the last 3 years, they've been a little pale green-looking, you know, and I was wondering, would fertilizing help that, or what is the problem with that?
Well, fertilizer would help, but you probably didn't improve the soil enough when you put the new ones in. So the ones from 40 years ago were just a little bit tougher, and they were able to handle the environment. These are, let's say, wimpier because they're, let's say, they're still tough. They're still the same genus and species or whatever. But if they look thin and sparse and they're discolored, I would say you're probably better off to get rid of these, improve the soil, and then get some new ones as opposed to trying to bring these back. But if you do want to try to bring them back, probably your soil, you know, because it's probably up near your foundation of your house where these happen to be planted, the soil pH is probably a little bit too alkaline, too salty. So the ewes really need an acidic soil, so you need to go to your favorite garden center and get some iron sulfate first. I wouldn't fertilize them. It's just like when people or pets or anything are not feeling well, eating is not necessarily the best thing to do. But getting them into an environment that they're going to feel, you know, more comfortable with the pH-wise, do that first. See if you can get the needles to start greening up. It's not going to happen instantaneously. And just go from that standpoint. Then maybe think about fertilizing in the future. But get the soil back, you know, in sort of on track.
Okay, iron sulfate.
Yep.
Okay. And then what kind of fertilizer would it in the future?
In the future, you're going to get a fertilizer for acid-loving plants, and that will contain sulfur and that will contain iron as well as some other, let's say, micronutrients that, you know, evergreens really like.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Certainly. Good luck with that. And, yeah, it's, you know, sometimes we, you know, spend a lot of time working on plant material. You spent 7 years with these, and they still haven't sort of performed like you wanted. Also, it could be variety-wise. You know, sometimes the varieties, where you get the plant material and things like that makes a huge difference. So, you know, you never know. Let's go to Frontenac now from Ferguson. We're staying in the Fs. And go to David's yard. Hi, David.
Yeah, hi, Mike. I wonder if you've noticed, or at least on two very large silver maples that are probably 60 years old. I'm not seeing any seeds this year. No whirly birds, as I call them.
Really?
Have you noticed that?
No.
Yeah, none.
The one across the street from me has a million of them, and they've just all fallen. And when I walk down, you know, the Christie Greenway towards Snooks, there's a couple of silver maples along there. They have had a huge amount. And this year with you know, the mild winter and everything else, they are just, you know, prolific. So has your trees been pruned?
No. These trees are too big to prune. These things are huge. and there is not a whirly bird on them, and I know that because they'd be dropping by now.
Oh, absolutely.
I've been in this house for 38 years, and I've seen them drop, and I've dealt with them, you know, blowed them off my deck and everything else, but
right.
I don't have one.
You're kidding.
And these, no, not one. So I was thinking that maybe that cold snap we had where it got, you know, down to 20 degrees after we had the really warm early spring, I thought maybe that zapped them, and maybe it did zap mine. I don't know. I mean, the trees look healthy as heck. I mean, they're fully leafed out, and so at any rate, So
yeah, but I mean, just, okay, you know, sort of relishes day growing up in Maple Lane in Ellisville, where silver maples was our trees. That was, I mean, we had gutters full. We had them all over the place and everything else. But the majority of the trees that I've seen so far this year have had prolific numbers of the helicopters or maple squirts.
Right. Well, then I'm unique.
Yep. You're lucky.
Weird. Yeah, well, I hope it's a trend.
Right.
You know, okay.
Great.
Right, good. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, as long as the foliage looks good and everything else, it's just perfectly fine. Now let's go to Chesterfield and see what's going on in Tim's yard. Hi, Tim.
How are you doing today?
Very good.
Good. A couple quick questions. Siberian iris, they're starting to bloom. Can we divide those after they bloom?
I would probably wait until the foliage starts going a little bit downhill, so later on in the season. So you could certainly, you know, divide them because they're so tough and durable. But I just don't like to, you know, divide things while they could be building up, you know, energy for, you know, the upcoming years as far as, you know, flowering, growth, and everything else. So wait until fall and do it.
You're okay. Probably,
I mean, it's just, it's better off for the majority of plants to do it in the fall because the ground is warm, you dig them up, you chop them up, and by the ground being warm, wherever you relocate them to, the ground's warm, that's going to, you know, really encourage some root system growth. Then they get to go to sleep for winter time.
Gotcha. And where do you buy milkweed plants? I've checked around at a bunch of smaller garden suppliers, you know, and nobody seems to have them. Maybe they're not out yet, or do you know of any place?
I don't know. Just a second. Pauline, do you have milkweed?
No.
No, they don't have milkweed here. But you could go to, like, Missouri Wildflower Nursery website. You can go to the Botanical Garden they have at the Shaw Reserve, you know, out in Gray Summit. They have a wildflower sale, so they're definitely going to have them there. Or there are, you know, certain garden centers that specialize in native plants, too.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yep. Good luck. And if anybody does have any questions, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. A couple weeks ago, I was crying tears trying to make it so the ground would get some moisture because everything was getting really, really dry. It wasn't impacting the plant material yet because they weren't actively growing all that much. But now with this rain, thank goodness. It's really soaking the ground well. So just watch out. Don't do too much, you know, walking on lawn areas, at least on the same area, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, because you can really compact the soil when it's wet like this. So just be cautious and conscious of those kind of things. But planting-wise, I've got some plants that I'm going to get from here. I don't know what it's going to be like when I get home. I don't know if I'm going to plant them today or not. I haven't decided yet. But I generally don't mind being in the rain. Surprisingly, I don't melt. I'm not like the Wicked Witch of the North or wherever the Wicked Witch was from. So I just go out and, you know, if it's raining, it's raining. So that's just kind of the way I was. It was like when I was working at the Botanical Garden. When it rained, I could either hang out in the sheds or I could be out just doing stuff. I always preferred to be out doing stuff. So Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline. Take a look at your houseplants, your landscape, and everything else. And give us a call, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Again, Live and Lively Plant Haven Farms and Garden Center on Firma Road off Highway 79 in O'Fallon.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
Yes, folks, we are live and lively. Luckily, we're inside. Ryan and Brian, the engineers, they were smart. They put us inside rather than having us outside just in case it would rain, and it is raining out here. Plant Haven Farms and Garden Center on Firma Road off 79 in O'Fallon. Pauline, the owner, the big executive, she's out checking some of her Quonset houses and everything else. I'll be talking to her shortly. If you do have any questions, 636-272-5005. And they are open. So let's go to Kirkwood now, though, and go into Chris's yard. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? I had a comment and a question. The comment was, there is possibly some milkweed down at the Missouri Botanical Gardens.
Okay, great.
They're having the St. Louis Herb Society is having their last day of their herb sale, and I believe it starts at 9 o'clock, and all herbs are, I think, 50% off. So
wow.
You might find some down there.
Okay.
Okay. My question was, so I have some peonies, and they're not blooming like they did last year. Is there a reason why?
Generally, they have been really prolific as far as the flowering goes. If the foliage looks good and everything looks good?
Yeah, everything looks good, but I only have a few bulbs on the plant versus last year. There were half a dozen or a couple dozen of them, actually.
Yeah, I mean, plant materials, even though we think they should be consistent year in, year out, sometimes there's some quirky thing in the middle of, you know, the, let's say, bud formation or something along that line that throws them off, like the gentleman I talked to earlier. It could have been related to, you know, temperature-wise, you know, rainfall. You just don't know. So just as long as they look good and they look healthy, go ahead and make sure they get fertilized once a month all the way up until, let's say, the first of, let's say, maybe July 1st, that would be the last fertilizing. And then when the foliage is done, you know, before it actually collapses, go ahead and cut it off. That should be mid to late September.
Okay, so you recommend fertilizing those flowers once a month, is that correct?
Yeah, once a month, basically starting when the weather starts warming up. So, you know, each year is going to be different, April, May, June, and maybe July, but that would be pretty much it.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
Yep, and now let's go to Taylorville, Illinois. We have not been there for a long time, and Gwen lives there. Hi, Gwen.
Hi, how are you?
Very good.
Hey, I heard the gentleman just now give the tip, and I'll give another one. I'm a member of the Illinois Native Plant Society that the central chapter meets in Springfield, and their native plant sale is today.
Wow.
From 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Illinois State Fairgrounds in the Commodity Pavilion. And I know they have loads of milkweed because they collect their own seed and start plants and things. So great diverse collection of native trees, shrubs, grasses, perennials. Many of these have been grown at Star Hill Forest Arboretum by Guy Sternberg. So be a great place, 9 to 2.
It sounds perfect.
And if people want to, I think they could probably, if they need some direction, they can just off of Sangamon Avenue in the fairgrounds, they could enter at gates 1, 7, or 11, and there should be signs to the Commodity Pavilion.
Well, that sounds great. Thanks for the insight.
So if the guy's really wanting to have a little trip on a wet day, I guess he could come on up.
Yeah, really. And it would be great if he could be behind a tractor trailer the whole way with
there
all that spray.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Well, thanks, Gwen. I greatly appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay. And now let's go to Karen. And Karen is in St. Louis. Hi, Karen.
Hello. I have a major problem. I have a very invasive plant. I think it's called Hytonia. It's a green leaves that gets a little white flower, and it has runners that go forever, and they go deep. And I've dug up, and I've sprayed weed killer, and I wondered if you have any idea how to get rid of this.
Basically, it's probably chickweed's another name for it. So, in essence, what you need to do is in August put a pre-emergent down because all those little white flowers have been just producing a huge amount of seeds. So you can dig it, yes, get rid of it that way, but just realize there's going to be some seed formation that has already happened and they're dropped on the ground. There's no way, no herbicide is going to work on it until you put a pre-emergent down. And you want to put the pre-emergent down just as the seeds are germinating. So it is a cool season annual weed, and so consequently you want to put the pre-emergent down sometime mid to late August.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, and with any of these weed problems, just realize 1 year is not going to get solve the problem. You're going to have to stay consistent, persistent, and have to do it a couple different times. The spring, you know, putting it down, you know, the pre-emergent down in the springtime does absolutely nothing because it's already up, it's already growing. So pre-emergence only kills seeds as they're germinating. So good luck with that. Yeah, this year has been an explosion of weeds all across the entire region. And my wife kind of likes violets, so a couple years I let the violets go, and oh my goodness, what a mistake. Now when she's not a
plant.
Pardon me?
I'm sorry. This was actually a plant that somebody bought and planted.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's not a weed. It is a weed. It's a terrible weed, but I don't know how to get rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm completely wrong about that. I, you know, without seeing, can you send me a picture of it?
Sure.
email-wise? Just email me a picture, and then I'll let you know what it is and what's the best thing to do.
Okay. And who should what's your address?
Just send it. You know, my website is MikeMillerDesigns.com.
Oh, okay.
Just go there, and that will give you my email address in that on the website.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Yep, sorry. And sorry for all my misinformation.
That's okay.
I hope Steve Moore's not listening. He's going to...
This Garden hotline is over. Thanks, Karen.
No, we listen to it every week, so I appreciate your service.
Well, thank you.
Have a great day. Even though it's liquid sunshine, have a great day.
Yes, and thanks for having me on your show. Now let's go to Althea, and Althea lives in Jennings. Hi, Althea.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Yes, I have a 15-inch pot, and I have a shepherd rod. I would like to know how to secure it to keep it from falling over.
Probably the best thing to do is go to your favorite garden center and get something called a peony ring. And just put the peony ring in there, and then that way you don't have to worry about staking. You don't have to worry about anything else. It can move and everything else, and that's probably the recommendation I'd make.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, good luck with that. And peony rings are basically some of the variety, the old-fashioned varieties of peonies were grown for cut flowers. So they get really elongated, but the flowers are extremely heavy. So consequently, once they start opening, the stems can't hold the weight of the flowers, and then they flop over. So that's the development of the peony rings. Some of the newer hybrids of the peonies, they don't get that long. They don't get the huge flower, necessarily huge flowers. So that's the difference. So the peony rings are, and some people use them for tomatoes. So it's just called a peony ring just because that's just happens to be the name. So thanks, Althea. Now let's go to Kirkwood and in the Jean's yard. Hi, Jean.
Hey, Mike. Thank you very much for your service. I'm calling because I have a bed of lilies of the valley. It's a very beautiful bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it is in that bed, there are also hydrangeas, rhododendrons, and peonies. And the lilies of the valley are going up to the bases of those plants. I just wondered, is that okay, or should I clear them from under those plants?
Well, how fanatical are you? No, they're fine. Basically, I would probably keep them a little bit away from the peonies because of peonies have a lot of fungus problems on the foliage, and so air circulation around them could cause more of a fungus problem. But anything else, it's just a great ground cover. I mean, they're in flower right now, or they've just finished flowering, so they're tough, they're durable. But any of those other plants have no problem with the peonies growing right up to the where they're coming, the crown, basically where they're coming up out of the ground.
Great to know, and they have a wonderful fragrance. And again, thank you very much for your show. It's
yes,
wonderful.
They have a great fragrance for sure. Yeah, the peonies, again, it's just because of the air circulation. That's why I don't like to, advise people to put them too close to any place that's going to keep the air from flowing around it, because they do have two or three different, fungal problems on the leaves, and ultimately those can impact the overall health. So thanks a lot. And Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Once again, here's Mike Miller on KMOX.
Yes, folks, we are live and lively at, where are we? Plant Haven Farms and Garden Center on Firma Road off 79 in O'Fallon. Let's see, the phone number, 636-272-5005. And let's go to Tim, and Tim is driving on Highway 70 West. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for your show and service. Any suggestions on how to get rid of the wild violets that are in flower beds? We spend hour after hour pulling those stinkers out, but
right.
They just can't seem to eradicate them. Any
thoughts? Basically, I would take concentrated Roundup, and it's just find a nice comfortable chair and just paint the Roundup, squash the violet leaves, and then paint some Roundup right onto the foliage. And that's probably going to be the best way. But it's still going to take a long time to get rid of them. They are vicious as far as producing seed. The flower produces seed, but they also have this little kind of like hood that's right at the ground level that pops out seeds too. So it's just going to be a long, long, long involved process. But the Roundup, on crushed leaves, the wounds, allow the Roundup to be sucked in a little bit quicker.
Can we, they're in beds that we would typically plant annuals in. Can you plant the annuals after that Roundup treatment?
Yes, Roundup deactivates when it hits the soil, so it doesn't really do anything at all.
Okay, so concentrated Roundup.
Yeah, and so in other words, you know, the concentrated just means it's going to be a little bit stronger. So just, you know, get a jar, a paintbrush, and just paint it right onto the leaves.
Okay, thank you very, very much.
Yep, and joining me right now is Pauline. Pauline, how are you?
I'm great on this beautiful day.
Yes, absolutely. Let me give you my credit card for the plants that I am going to get today.
You might be my only customer because it's so pretty outside.
So what's going on here?
Well, we have been working hard at growing all of these beautiful plants.
Right.
As you can see, they look better than they ever have. I think all the pretty sunshine that was a couple weeks ago has really helped. We started a new campaign on Facebook, so folks out there, like us on Facebook, if that's what the term is. And our Facebook campaign has brought in lots of new customers. So believe it or not, it really works. I guess I'm just old enough to not know that, but there you go. So things are good. We have great employees this year and lots of returning ones that I couldn't live without.
Right.
Things are good. We just need some good customers.
Is the Olivet location open yet?
Yes, it opened last Sunday.
Okay.
And now with the rain, it's a little tricky staying open 9 to 5 with people in the rain. So we sort of have weather hours.
Don't you give them raincoats?
We have umbrellas. We have it all, but it's still hard to be out there in the rain. And
exactly.
If you get a little lightning, it gets a little tricky.
So I haven't been mentioning the fact that where the location is in Olivet is 9520 Olive in Olivet, and that's in the Olivet Bowling Alley.
Yeah, it's on the parking lot. Yes.
Yeah, west side of the park. Yeah, it's not in the bowling lanes.
Exactly.
That'd be a little difficult. But, I've broadcast from there actually last year or maybe the year before as well. So.
Exactly. We've been, this is our sixth season there. This business started in 1980, but we took over 16 years ago. So I feel like I'm a little seasoned finally.
Right. You look very farm-like.
I feel very farm-like. It's aging me. And we are becoming a bigger farm. You met Cosmo, our cat.
Yes.
We have Daisy the rabbit and Penelope and Rosie, our two pigs.
Well, I look for the pigs. Are they behind the barn?
Yes, they have a pig pen.
That's
behind
what
the
I
barn.
Thought. Do you bring them out for walks?
No, because they eat everything. So people
those
go
stupid pigs.
Like people go back for, you know, selfies and pet the pigs, but it brings a lot of people. People like pigs.
Right.
We also, you were mentioning earlier that we have our farmland. This year we're, I guess, sharing it with a farmer named John, and he is growing lots of produce. He's going to sell under the name Plant Haven Farms at the Lake St. Louis Farmers Market,
mm-hmm.
and he's also growing for a local restaurant and butchery, and he's a great friend to have around when we have questions about vegetables. And speaking of vegetables, we grow 25 different tomato plants and 24 different pepper plants. And people like tomatoes and peppers. I think gardening is still big.
So even though it's raining, you guys are still open, right?
We're still open, and like we said, we just had our first customer. Someone's on their way for perennial hibiscus. So let's cross our fingers and hope that the rain brings people.
Well, great. And perennial hibiscus really love wet soil. So
exactly.
That's perfect.
It's perfect. I know. They're thriving out there today.
Right. Well, great. Well, thanks, Pauline.
Thank you.
Yep. And let's go to Gloria now, and she's in Springfield, Illinois. Hi, Gloria.
Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
How are you? I have huge bushes in the back that we want to have removed. They must be 10 feet high. They're wild. They're bad. So I want to replace it. The gardener suggested something like boxwood, something simple. But how hard would it be if I had lilac bushes? Are there low lilac bushes? I've seen them around town in Springfield.
There are some smaller lilac bushes. And also now, is this area fully sunny? Because the lilacs need full sun.
Yes, it is sunny.
Okay, yeah. So I wouldn't rush to do this, but I would go ahead and get the shrubs out that you want to get out of there.
Yeah.
You know, get all the weeds under control before you, you know, put the lilacs in. So you may end up waiting till fall to plant the lilacs, but there are, you know, smaller growing lilacs for sure.
And it's not hard to grow the lilac bushes?
No, they're pretty easy. But don't put them too close together. They're kind of like peonies from the standpoint that they really, they get powdery mildew, which is a kind of a gray fog on the leaves later on in the season. So if you put them too close together, the air circulation is not quite as good. So consequently, you may end up with this, I mean, the foliage, it's more an aesthetic thing than it is actually help, you know, hurts the plant health. But, you know, put plenty of space in between them. So in other words, I always tell people, however tall this is going to be, space, you know, use that spacing between each shrub.
Oh, I see. Okay, good. And one quick question about peonies. I have some ants on it. It's a very tight bulb, plant at this point. My sister recommended plant soap for the ants. What do you think?
Well, you can do that. The ants are really not causing a real problem. The ants are climbing up to actually go to the flower buds because there is like a honeydew there, more or less, on the flower buds, and they're collecting that. Now, if the leaves are sticky or shiny, then you've probably got a problem with aphids. But if it's just the ants, I wouldn't worry too much about it. You could go after them if you wanted to, but you're going to kill just a few of them because the insecticidal soaps have to be sprayed right onto the plant, onto the ant, and then there's a whole colony of them close by, so you're just going to get more and more and more and more. I would say don't worry too much about it. When there's nothing that's creating a food source circumstance for them, then they're going to go away.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much, Mike.
Yep, thank you. And, this year the ants have been prolific. I mean, as I've said for the last couple weeks, the cracks in between the sidewalk, around our house, we're on a corner, almost every expansion joint area is filled with ants. I mean, like three or four or five different, colonies, or at least, piles of ant soil. But so I just kind of let them go. Sometimes I get a little bit aggravated with them and I flood them out, but that's pretty much all I do. They don't really do a whole lot of damage. They mainly go in after some damage is done to the plants as a result of a disease or by other insects or those type things. But you're never really going to get rid of them. They're always going to be around. So we do have another hour right here at Plant Haven Farms and Garden Center. And so if you do have any questions, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Again, Greg's back in the studio. Mike Miller, I will see you after the news.
The voice of St. Louis. News Radio 1120 KMOX. KMOX HD St. Louis. 102.5 KEZK HD3 St. Louis.